Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Wonderful Wednesday, March 17th. 2021. Hard to believe we're here, but here we are. I have a little bit of some things I want to share with you tonight to encourage you, but before I get there, I want to remind you of a Seder dinner that's coming up on Good Friday, right before Easter. We've never had one here like this before, and I really want to encourage you to sign up. We're very limited in the number of people that we can have for this. I don't mean just sign up. I should correct myself with that. You got to make sure that you purchase the ticket, because signing up doesn't mean you have a space. We have a very limited area for the Seder dinner, which is also a catered meal. So it's during the day on Good Friday, and you'll hear more about this in church on Sunday. But anyway, I just want to give you a heads up that you know, not everybody will be able to attend. We're limited in the number of people that we can have there. But maybe next year, Lord willing, we can open up and use our whole sanctuary, be able to do that. That would be fun. But anyway, I want to encourage you tonight. I was, I didn't really have a plan of what am I going to share. I need to share something on Wednesday nights to encourage the folks that are so faithful to watch. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord just brought back some things to me that were happening during my day today. It's been a pretty busy day, a productive day, but busy. A little while ago, I was at our fax machine that we have here in the church office, and I was trying to use it to get a fax that I was looking to receive, and I was having some trouble with paper jamming and things like that, and finally I would get it to work, and then a fax would come through, not the one I was expecting, but it was, I guess, you know, some sort of fax that people sent out. And I looked at it, and when I read it, it was addressed to me, and it was from supposedly a lawyer up in Canada, and they were saying how I had a deceased relative, and they named a person, and it was anybody I recognized, and said that there was like $11 million in an account that if I contacted them for a percentage they would get, I could get so much and all this. So it got my attention. I went, whoa, what is this all about? And about a minute later, another fax came through from a different supposed law firm, and it announced, the deceased relative by the name of Washburn and had a different first name and another amount of money that was different from this one. And they were saying pretty much the same thing. If you contact us, you know, right away, you know, for a small fee, you'll get most of this money and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then another minute later, another one came from a different law firm. So I knew right away this was just a scam, just, you know, the kind of scams you get from emails and things like that. So anyway, I just threw those things away. And there was, of course, nothing to that. And then when I went out for a little while, just before I came here to talk to you, I was praying and walking around the church property. And as I was praying, it was like the Lord spoke to me this question: what would you do with many millions of dollars that most people never see in their lifetime? What would you do with that? Well, probably, you know, I've fantasized before. You know, like people say, they win the lottery, all of a sudden come to a bunch of, what would you do with it? I fantasize, and you probably have too. And one of the things that was very encouraging to my heart was that, first of all, I would continue to do what I'm doing right now. This is what I'm called to do. I don't do it for money. I don't do it for convenience. I do it because God's called me to do it. So that was encouraging to my heart, to know that even if there was a large sum of money coming to my life, it wouldn't change what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm called to do and enjoy doing. But then I started to fantasize a little bit, you know, and I thought, well, you know, I
there's a lot of people I would like to help anonymously and, you know, buy them a car or homes and things like that. And then I thought, well, you know, I definitely want to build my wife a house that she would want, and maybe some acreage and some land, you know, those kind of things we've always dreamed of. And I definitely would buy I spend a little bit on myself. I'd buy a pickup truck because I like pickup trucks. And maybe a boat, definitely a boat we can go fishing in and things like that. You know, I'd buy my mom some, you know, a home that she would live there on that property with us. So you fantasize about all this stuff. And then I began to think beyond that. I think, what would I do here at the church, you know? Well, one of the things I've had a great passionate desire of, you know, have you ever seen those great big crosses that sometimes are built by churches or they're near the highway? I mean, they're colossal. They're as big as a water tower. And I've always, I've visualized here for many, many years, seeing a great big white cross up in the sky, as big as a water tower on the back of our property. And then it would be white and it would be lit up at night. And so that people who live all around this community would look up in the sky at night and they would see that lighted white cross and would give them hope. Or maybe someone is distressed, they've lost a loved one, they go out and look up in the sky and they'd see that white cross. I just believe it'd be a way that God would speak to many people. So that would be one of the things I would do with these supposed millions of dollars. And, you know, I fantasized about several other things that I would do this and do that. And then the word came to me, the word limit, L-I-M-I-T. And years ago, whenever I was talking to the Lord, he brought this word limit to me. And I, like a question, do you know what the word limit means? And I certainly know what being limited means. You're limited in money, you're limited in time, limited in energy and all that. But then he gave me an acrostic in my mind that I've never forgotten when I think of the word limit. And L-I-M-I-T stands for living in my intended territory. Now, when you look at it that way, it's a very positive thing. It's not a negative thing. So you think of a limit as God has placed a limit on us out of his goodness and out of his grace. He's got a place he intends for us to live. So limit means living in my intended territory. Even Jesus, the Son of God, had a limit placed upon him. He only lived on this earth for 33 years. That's a time limit. He only had so much energy. He had to sleep. He was human. He had to eat. He had to have water. And all of us are like that. There's only so much time we have. There's only so much energy we have. We can't do everything. We all live within a limit, living in my intended territory. And it's a good thing when you think that God does place limits on us. It's a good thing, especially when you think about money. You think, well, if I had all the money I could ever dream of having an unlimited checking account, what would I do? Well, it would probably be a disaster for most of us. So we thank God that he's put a limit upon us. Several years ago, God, he kind of speaks to me through these acrostic words, and he gave me the word CPR, C-P-R, you know, like your heart getting CPR. But then he explained to me what CPR is and what God wants us to have. He wants us to have CPR. And he said to me in this fashion that C stands for contentment, P stands for his peace, R stands for his rest. And so I meditated on that for a while and talked to God more about it. And then he revealed later on more of what he intended for me to have and live while I'm here on this earth. He wants us to live in CPR. C stands for contentment. How do you get God's contentment? Contentment means I have enough. I'm satisfied. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack.
I'm content with what God gives me. Well, you don't get contentment automatically as a human being. The Apostle Paul revealed, and the Holy Spirit revealed in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned. That's a key word, learned. I have learned to be content in all things. So contentment from God is something that can be learned by us. And we learn it many times by going through trials and seeing that God is protecting us, God is providing us, God is helping us, and we learn to be content rather than being anxious. So contentment is something God wants us to have while we live here on this earth in a time limit. Be content with what you have. Second thing God wants us to have, and he's offering it to us right now, and that is his peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. So God wants you and I to have, and it's available right now, not just peace, but his peace, which is supernatural peace. It's the peace that passes all human understanding. So we can have contentment. If we learned how to receive contentment from God, we can receive Jesus' peace. Contentment is learned. Peace is received by faith. Jesus says, I give it to you. So by faith, you receive peace. Contentment you learn. But then R means rest. His rest. And I find it fascinating. That subject is so intriguing to me. What Jesus means when he's talking about rest, not passivity, but it's actually a faith that trusts. Listen to this in Hebrews 4, chapter 1. Since the promise of entering his rest remains, let us fear lest by any of you should seem to come short of it. We're told all through the Bible, don't be anxious about anything, don't be fearful of anything. But here's one thing we should be afraid of. Be afraid that we not enter his rest now. You know, that's why the children of Israel that were to inherit the promised land, that first generation did not get the promised land. They died out because they didn't enter God's rest or faith or trust that he would get them where they were supposed to be. And by the way, that goes on to say, and it reminds us of those people in Israel. It says the word that was preached to them did not benefit them because they wouldn't enter his rest, because they did not mixed with faith the words that they heard. So it's possible for you to go to church, you be a Christian, and you not to benefit from the word that's being preached to you or taught to you or you're reading, because you don't mix it with faith. But when you mix the word of God with faith, you enter automatically his rest. So three things I've said to you here. Contentment is learned. You can learn to be content. Paul said, I've learned it in every circumstance. Peace can be received simply by faith. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace that calms my heart, your peace that passes all understanding. And rest is something you enter by faith, by mixing your faith with the Word of God, believing what God says, trusting what God says rather than your feelings, and you enter a supernatural rest. So there's CPR for your heart. Your heart's not in rhythm with God. You need a CPR, contentment, peace, and rest. You can apply that. You can have all of that right now, regardless of your bank account or regardless of your circumstances. So it's God's grace that he doesn't give us everything we want here, that he actually puts a limit on what we have and what we experience while we're here in this life. Something you may not have thought of, and I want you to think about this, and I'm going to close. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the sin of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Most people will quickly respond it was the sin of homosexuality or immorality. While that was a byproduct, that's true, it was not the root sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Surprisingly, you'll see the answer in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. And there, it outlines for us that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was number one, pride or arrogance. Number two was abundance of bread. They overfed. They had abundance of bread. They had more than enough. They were overeating. Number three, sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was careless ease. In other words, they had way too much time on their hands. And too much time on your hands can get you into trouble. So they had too much ease. They weren't working. They had luxury. And number four, because they had a lot of wealth, they were extremely wealthy. And if you look at the world today, the greatest sexual perversions in the world today are usually among the very wealthy or the extremely rich. Not always, but I'm saying because they have too much money, they have too many options, they have too much time on their hands, they have abundance of bread, and they're prideful or they're arrogant. But then number five characteristic or the root sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was unconcern over the poor and needy. There were poor and needy people around them, and they weren't conscious of them. They were just living to please themselves. I just find that interesting as I think about today, that facts that I got earlier today about, hey, you have access to multi-millions of dollars if you'll answer my email or my facts, and which was all a big scam. It made me think, and then God asked me the question, what would you do if you did have multi-millions of dollars all of a sudden? And I was glad to say, with an honest heart, that I would continue doing what I'm doing right now, because I'm called of God to do that, to be a shepherd to the people of Grace Tabernacle, and God is sending me here. Now, I was honest, and I said, yeah, I'd buy a bigger house, and I'd do a few things like that. But those are minuscule compared to the fact that in my heart, I do have contentment with a limit that God has placed upon me. I do have Christ's peace ruling in my heart right now, regardless of my circumstances. And I have troubles and I have issues just like you do, like every rest of the world, but I have his peace. And finally, I'm entering his rest right now because I'm mixing my faith with his promises. So I have CPR. So as you go to bed tonight, maybe recall this, some of this, think on it, meditate on it, talk to God about it, see what he says to you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful time. And I, as always, just something really good is happening at Grace Tabernacle right now. And we have so much to be thankful for. And you can sense the momentum as I do. And so anyway, I look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. I pray now God bless you and encourage you and keep you safe. As we gather together this Sunday, I look forward to seeing you then. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.